Some of you don't know what I'm talking about. Just wait. I've got a man in my church. He sits on the back row, and he'll count how many squirrels I chase. All right? In fact, one Sunday, after between Sunday school and church, I had shared with the one man. I go, I'm locking the back door for a couple reasons, and I just want to tell you why. And he goes, well, it's unlocked now because I just went through it. Then I found out later that I had a squirrel bumper sticker. So when you see the truck over here, you'll see the squirrel bumper sticker, and I know who put it on there. So, amen. How many will pray this morning with me that I don't chase any squirrels? Mercy. My wife will, okay? Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, God is so good. We've been there in Plains, Montana, small town of 1,500-ish. All right. We have no properties for sale anymore. In the last 2 months, they've all been swept up. Cash on the barrel. Cash on the barrel. All right. And realtors, they're out of business, so they might as well come to church now. And, yeah. Interesting. It's very slow there. I'm just waiting for a good winter, and then we'll have more real estate. So, amen. I just wish I would have been thoughtful enough to pick some of that up first before. Yeah. But we're not in it for the money. Right. Amen. And God is blessed. What Brother Pastor Bobby Stansfield is talking about is we had a little S10 that I've been driving for many years, 200,000 miles and still ticking. And most of our roads off the highway are dirt, gravel, that kind of thing. So So we do a lot of things with that little truck. I've made a lot of preachers get close to God in that truck. Riding down the mountain roads. They say I'm better driving down the roads than the highway. And so that's a good thing, isn't it, to get preachers praying? Yeah. Lord, please get me home safely. And last fellowship meeting, what was it, November? What? March? Anyway, there's churches like this that got on board to help us get into a nicer truck, a truck that has brakes, and that'll speed up uphill. And praise the Lord for that. And it's given me the opportunity to be able to come and be able to preach to you guys. And so the little S10 is a blessing, has been a blessing. When you're doing about 55 miles an hour, it tries to shift into four-wheel drive, make some funny noises and whatnot. And so it was, I'm telling you what, it's been a truck. And it's gotten me where I need to go. So now I have something that, it's a Dodge, so look out. If you can't dodge it, ram it. Well, I praise the Lord. My wife and I were praying that the Lord would do something as far as another vehicle or vehicle that we be more reliable. You know, in Montana, we do have winters and highway roads. Wherever we go is at least 90 miles one way. And, you know, when you're on the road and got to get there and get back and whatnot, and it's nice to have something that we go, thank you, Lord, for that will get us there and back. So praise the Lord. Well, let's get into what we're here for today. Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15. If you would stand with me as we read our verses here, we're going to read verses 21 to 28. And I'm starting to write, when I preach somewhere else, I'm starting to write on those chapters and verses where I preached it, and it's going to help me. Although I've heard some preachers preach the same message three or four times in the years I've been in the work of the Lord, and my dad being a pastor and going to fellowship meetings and different things, and every time different ones would preach the same message, I would get something a little more or a little helpful in different ways. But I get nervous as I'm traveling a little bit. I might be preaching the same message, but I'm telling you what, this one here, as I started working through it 2 weeks ago, I got to the end of it and I was in tears. And I said, okay, Lord, this is what we need to do. So, as we get into this, again, I want to do the Word of God justice. And so, Matthew 15, verses 21 through 28, says, then Jesus went thence and departed into the coasts of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord. Thou son of David, my daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. But he answered her not a word. And the disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. And he answered and said, I am not sent, but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. And he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to the dogs. And she said, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from the very hour. Be seated. I have need of two things. A cup of water and a Kleenex. Clean. All right. As we dive into this, there's a couple really important parts that I want to emphasize. And we think about what the Lord said to this woman from Canaan. Thank you so much. Great is thy faith. We also have seen the perplexity that she's in as a mother. Okay? I cannot imagine having a child vexed with a demon. Now, in the scriptures in the New Testament, we see a lot of this happening and whatnot. And to explain that, we could try to philosophically explain, you know, when the Lord was present, there was, you know, people that had demons and whatnot. I believe there's maybe some of that today. You know, and we know this, that the father of all lies, Satan, is doing everything he can to perplex families, perplex marriages, and commitment to the Lord. So, as we look at this, we see Jesus traveling here and we get into verse number 2, it says, and behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him. We know that throughout the ministry of the Lord that there were many people that came to him. There were many times that he would go to see people. I think about the demon-possessed man that was in the graveyard.
Yeah.
Naked, destitute. Wild, breaking chains. I mean, talk about strength and all the things that goes with demon possession and whatnot. And after the Lord dealing with him, the town comes in, out in fear and perplexed and about what's going on. And this demon man that ran around and screamed and cut himself and all kinds of stuff. And they find him in his right mind and clothed. We see the power that the Lord Jesus Christ had on the lives of those in which he either sought to relate to or people that came in to seek him. This woman came to seek Jesus. We see that she was very knowledgeable in the fact that when she cries out, she says, have mercy on me. Now, I've taught about mercy. Mercy is something that you want when you're caught.
Yeah. There you go.
But if you're judgmental, you don't want mercy on that individual.
Yeah.
I mean, as part of, we're talking with about some human traits here that we deal with sometimes. And some of us seek mercy all the time. Amen?
Yeah.
So, she said, "Have mercy on me, O Lord." We know that Lord is another terminology for master. We see her humble cry and her positioning, and she's approaching the scenario very well. Probably better than what I would do. We also see as she cries out for help and mercy, we see that she says, "Thou son of David." She understood his divinity. She understood where he came from and probably some Old Testament prophecies about who Jesus Christ would be. I mean, what a simple woman here, not even a Jew. And she understood these things for which the little words in which she used, she gets right to the point. How many of the Jews, the Pharisees, and the scribes that have read the scriptures, memorized the scriptures, and all that kind of stuff, failed or did not want to see that he was of the lineage of David, that he fulfilled every prophetic or prophecy about who the Messiah would be? How that he came from a virgin, and so on and so on. And this woman here, a Canaanite, well, she came from Canaan. She lays this all out. "Thou son of David." And then she puts her plea out there. Now, I have a 3-point message. I'm already murdered that, which is okay. Because as we see the Word of God, and again, I want to stay on track here. We see that she says, "My daughter is grievously vexed," not just vexed, but grievously vexed, which goes beyond the state of just having problems. She's grievously vexed with a demon, a devil. Now, I've seen some kids that I thought were demon-possessed too. They were just being kids. How hard is this? How tremendously difficult for a mother to deal with this. I can't imagine. We know the time that we live as we see the day of the Lord approaching, that many prophecies, it talks about things and times. Matthew 24 goes through a lot of stuff, but how children will be more rebellious. I mean, I can remember the day even my dad, I said something and I got backhanded. I went from the second seat to the back of the station wagon. And he wasn't a cruel man, but I said something that I shouldn't have said. Proverbs talks about not disciplining. What happens when you don't discipline children? Of course, disciplining is about teaching children to respect authority. You know, if they don't learn to respect authority, they're not going to respect you. And we could get into that area, but we see the perplexity of this woman crying out to the Master, the Jesus Christ, "Have mercy, have mercy." I believe there's kind of a twofold thought, though, as we go through this. We also see the disciples or the apostles here, don't we? I'm sure that the ministry the Lord had as he worked with people and dealt with people, there's times that he got tired or fatigued. He was human, you know. We also see the disciples that they also dealt with people trying to help out. And we know that in one case there was a demon possessed, a boy or man or something like that, and they couldn't cast the demons out, and finally the Lord comes in and deals with it. And the apostles later go, "Well, you know, we've done this before. How come we couldn't do it?"
Yeah.
And Jesus says, there are times that you've got to do some fasting and praying.
Yeah.
And I believe we're in that day, Christian, that we need to do some praying. We as Baptists don't do much fasting. My wife says I have a Ponsa. I have the Earhart Ponsa finally. It's taken a few years to get there. I call it my peninsula. During the summer, it kind of goes away, but in the winter, it starts catching up to me. But we think about her perplexity here and how she approached the Lord. But let's look at the response of the disciples. I'm going to do a little jump in here. It says here, "And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is vexed, grievously vexed with a devil. But he answered her not, and his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away. Send her away, for she crieth after us." So as I'm looking at my notes here, I see that this crying woman, she came and she wasn't joyous. She wasn't just having a voice. She was with emotion crying out for help. Crying out for help. And she recognizes the power that Jesus has. Thou son of David, as we went through that. Her plea was on the behalf of her daughter. Hard enough to have kids deal with sickness or other things. But we see here that the disciples had little or no compassion on her. Now, compassion. Sometimes it's tough to have compassion on others. Especially if they've created their own beast.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
The apostles here, they had little or maybe no compassion for this woman. And for her crying out, they had, you know, it's like, can you imagine? But how many times have we been in a situation where we know we should have compassion, we don't? The Lord definitely had compassion. He had compassion on the multitudes. I see multitudes and I like to go to my woods. We host the fair in Sanders County. It's right there at Plains. Not this year. But normally we do, and when it happens, it's like, I'm going out of town. I'm going fishing. I'm going in the backwoods, going for a hike. And my wife goes, let's go have some fair food. And I go, that's not fair.
Right.
So, you know what we do? We go have fair food. There's a lot of squirrels I could chase right there, but I'm not. I'm going to let it go. Disciple, it says, came and besought him. Lord, this lady is making a lot of noise over it. Let's just turn and go. We've dealt with people all day, Lord. You need a break, Lord.
Yep.
You need a break. We just need to just let her go. Just, all right. What happens here? Let's see. He says, but he answered not a word. When I read this, I got to thinking, you know, the reason why he answered not a word, I wonder if it was on the benefit to see what this woman's going to do. I believe he knew what she was going to do. But I wonder if he didn't answer them because he wanted to drive a home to the apostles.
Amen.
Something for you and I as well. And it says here, but he answered her not a word, and the disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she crieth out. We're tired of hearing her making noise over here, chitter chatter. Lord, let's just go. Let's go have lunch. I'm sure that Colonel Sanders is open. Let's go. In verse 24, and he answered and said, I am not sent but into the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He's talking about Israel here, okay? I've come to deal with Israel here, ma'am. Maybe the apostles, they wanted to hear that too. Hey, my responsibility is not to you as a Canaanite or someone come from Canaan, but my responsibility is to relate to Israel. And God does have a special relationship with Israel. And will continue having a special relationship with Israel. And so as I got to this point, I'm looking at it, I'm trying to digest it and relate to it. I don't know what I would do in this situation if I was her. I'm sure she heard the apostles say what they said. I'm kind of wondering if she didn't at that time go, you know, I ought to just turn and walk away. I wonder how many people have been there and done that. Maybe you have done that when there's a situation and the Lord's trying to help you with, and you just go, okay, I'm done with it. But we don't see her doing that. Maybe you're at a point right now where you go, the things that I'm dealing with, I just can't overcome it. I just got to turn and just kind of walk away from circumstances. And I'm in. You know, there's some circumstances we don't ask for, but we get. Sometimes we cause our own circumstances. It says here in verse 25, as she just heard the Lord go, you know, I'm here really to purpose to deal with Israel. It says then in verse 25, then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. I believe this is the first key that we need to look at. She doesn't give up. Even though she's not an Israelite, she does not give up. When it says that she came and worshipped him, this is what I see. All right? My judgment could be clouded. Sometimes I don't know where I put my memory. But she comes and falls down before him and says, Lord, please help me. She has great perplexity, doesn't she? Lord, please help me. And so I can see that she doesn't push away. She doesn't turn her back and go the opposite direction. Every right she has to. The Lord just said, hey, I'm here to help Israel. And the apostles are going, Lord, let's go. Let's just, ma'am, get out of here. Lord, let's just go eat. But she doesn't. She starts worshiping him. She falls down before him and she continues to say, Lord, help me. I believe that she knows that he can help her and that he wants to help her. So, most of us know these verses. I know that in Luke 19:10, it says, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost, which means this Canaanite woman, which means you and I, not just Israel. He desires for all Israel to get saved. But he had compassion on her and he wanted to meet her need, not just physical need, not just emotional need, but her spiritual need. We also know that John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world. That encompasses all, right? And we can continue on that path. Jesus died for the sins of all mankind. So, as I'm looking at this, I see her response and her reaction to what's going on and the fact she continues to humble herself, because that's what worship is humbling yourself. She continues to talk to the Lord. How many of us, we have a situation, we go, okay, I'm done with prayer. I've asked and asked and asked and asked and just hasn't happened. I believe we all have a line in each one of us has a line where we go so far, but she's willing to push beyond. Verse 26, but he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to the dogs. So, you know, I'm looking at it, I'm thinking, you know, we have a Blue Heeler, Bentley, and we do not feed him people food. He has his own food that he eats. I'm not going to eat out of his bowl. He's not going to eat out of mine. Having five kids, there was never a time that we would take their food and go, here you go, Bentley. They don't appreciate it. We're going to give it to you. Because our priorities are in a little different scenario. And so as the Lord is using this illustration, again, I believe it's not just for this woman, but I believe it was also for the disciples who was watching and seeing all this happen. And many issues with Jesus as he deals with them is not just for those people, but also to try to help the disciples, because there was going to be a day he was going to be gone. And they're going to need to remember the compassion the Lord had on others. And so, as Jesus lays out this illustration about the children's bread and to cast it to the dogs, I mean, how many of you would rather feed your dog than your kid? All right, don't go there, because some of you are there, I know. This woman cares about her daughter. This woman cares about this daughter. Jesus cares about this woman and the daughter. He cares about his disciples learning the lessons. Notice her response here in verse 27. And she said, truth. You know, there's help whenever you are willing to hear the truth.
That's right.
There's a lot of lies out there that, and it's hard to know in the day and hour that we live what's right and what's not right.
Yeah.
We have the Word of God to help us to know what's right, what to do, how to deal with it. The Word of God will not return void. We have the promises of the Word of God. And she said, truth, Lord, Master, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. So coming back to Bentley, when we eat, we sit down and eat, he'll still want to play ball a little bit, but he's trying to get close to the table. Because he knows that somebody's going to drop some crumbs down there. And so he has to sit over by the living room, and he'll lay there with his tennis ball until we're finished. And you know, when we get up, push, and start cleaning the stuff up, you know what Bentley does? And he starts finding the crumbs. And I believe this woman is in the same category here where she says, even a dog, after eating, the dog will go and lick up the crumbs. Now, when I got to this, I started thinking about crumbs. What are crumbs? Just little tidbits, little
particles.
How important are they? Well, I got to thinking about this. In desperate times, and this woman was in a desperate time, in desperate times come, we need some encouragement. Crumbs can be like a moment of encouragement. So, that dog is going to go and look for crumbs. And every little tidbit, it's like, oh yeah, score.
That's right.
Score. I can think back in the ministry, times of ministry, working, I'm sure other pastors can too, that we needed the Lord to drop us some crumbs to encourage us and help us along. I believe in the daily tasks that we do, wherever you're working and whatnot. You need some crumbs to encourage you. How many have issues when you go to work? How many want to go to work? All right? Maybe you need some crumbs from the master's hands. Maybe there's times in your marriage that you need some crumbs of encouragement. Marriage takes work. It's an institution that God created. Marriage takes work, doesn't it? Maybe there's some times when you're dealing with your kids that you need some crumbs of encouragement. I got to going through this and I got to thinking about a lot of different crumbs of encouragement that have helped in my life. Not realizing that's what they were. But the Lord knew where to put the crumbs and the timing to put the crumbs to encourage you and I. I almost titled this message, "A Crummy Message." And I thought, well, we'll just stay on the fact that the Lord said to this woman, "Great is thy faith." She needed some crumbs of encouragement. She understood that around that table, around the master's table, there's going to be crumbs that fall. We have 7 grandkids. When they're done eating, Bentley is like overjoyed. Because there's stuff all over. So, Jesus said to this woman, "Great is thy faith." I kind of wonder when Jesus said this to this woman that fell down and was worshiping him, continually relating to the Lord of help. I need help. And the pressure of the apostles saying, "Lord, let's go. She's just a noisy bother. Just leave her alone. Just walk away from her." That I kind of wonder, as she is worshiping him, that he turns and looks at the apostle and says, "This woman has great faith. Because she knows and understands how important it is to humble herself,
right,
to seek and ask in such a way that help is provided." I believe that she would not have gotten the result that she wanted if it wasn't for these factors. Stop and think about it. The Lord had the power to do it. There's a lesson to be learned. You and I are in times of discouragement, to be honest with you. It's all around us. But the principle is still the same. The Lord is the same. He knows what we're going through. We have different times and different seasons. Did you know winter's coming? Or we're enjoying all this heat and sunshine, right? But winter's coming. What do you need in winter? Warmth. We've already got all our wood ready to go. I'm expecting a good winter. Encouragement. Crumbs of encouragement. Crumbs of encouragement. There's other things that are coming. How to deal with things. I'm telling you right now, the Lord wants us to draw nigh to Him. If she would have turned and walked away, I believe the result would have been different. Don't you? We see this principle throughout the whole Bible, don't we? If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven. As Christians, it's tough to live in a day that we live, but it's no different than things that they dealt with in the Old Testament and the New Testament. The Lord's the same. He wants to teach us some lessons. We have some kids that are not serving the Lord. They're not faithful to church. There's not a day that goes by that I don't go, Lord, work in their life.
Yeah.
Help them. I need some crumbs of encouragement.
Yeah. Amen, brother.
I need some crumbs of encouragement, Lord. Believe it or not, the ministry is problem-free. Because the Lord knows where to put the crumbs. The time I need them. And I know where the table's at.
Yeah, that's good, bro.
I know where the table's at.
Amen.
If Bentley goes outside when we're eating, he's going to lose out. But after dinner time is done, it's time to clean up. And you know what? He walks away from there going, ooh, I got 3 crumbs tonight. I don't know where you're at today, but I think this Canaanite woman is a great example of what we need to do. Continually bring these things to the Lord. Don't turn and walk away. There's times that God is doing a work that you don't know. Amen. How many love your relatives? How many have relatives that you have a hard time loving? This woman loved her daughter.
Yes.
And brought her need to the Lord. Even with the disciples trying to discourage the situation and even her, she knew where she needed to take it. She drew nigh. She was persistent. She did the right thing, said the right thing. And I believe she was appreciated of what the Lord did in her life. Not just personally, but also for her daughter's sake. What do we see here? Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, isn't it good to know that women can be someone of faith? Great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. Your request is made whole. I believe there's times that we need to continually pray. I pray for my kids consistently, like I said. It's my heart that they'll wake up and learn. We've had a few that go, you know, Dad, what you told us about what's going to happen in the end days, we're seeing it, Dad. Well, it's one thing to see it. It's another to turn your life around.
Yeah.
And be what God wants you to be. But she gives us a great example, gives me a great example of what I need to continually do. Master, I'm a dog. I need some crumbs. There's times that I go, Lord, I need crumbs. My people, they need to hear. They need to have some crumbs of encouragement.
Amen.
They're dealing with things that I know not. We've had a lot of situations happen this last year, huh, babe? When you got a small church, a small, we're tight, we're close, we love one another. We've had people walk away to do their own thing. What was said was, I choose my family over the church. That's tough to deal with. I said, Lord, I need some encouragement, some crumbs of encouragement. We have a Rick and Linda, two of the seven, goes, their daughter just passed of cancer, long battle of cancer, to find out that Linda has cancer. We got about 5 or 6 situations like that, and it gets heavy. I go, Lord, we need some encouragement, some crumbs of encouragement. Lord, help me to encourage them somehow. We got a race next week in honor of Amy. We're going to wear purple shirts like we've been running as a church. Try to encourage our people, help our people. Lord, we need some crumbs of encouragement. How many of you need some encouragement? The Lord is there. He wants to listen. Even at the expense of the disciples having to. I wish the Lord would have went, you guys just shut up and sit down. But he doesn't. True? But are we going to be just like this woman? I want to be like this woman. I'm going to come before the Lord. I'm going to say, Lord, I need some. Lord, please. I'm going to turn over here. Where are we going? Preacher, appreciate you. Appreciate your steadfastness, your encouragement. I would even call you a crumb.
Thank you so much for that message. That's a blessing. You know, the Bible says in Romans chapter 10, verse 9, it says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thy heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You know, what we got to do is we just got to come to the Lord. The Bible says that the gospel came to the Jew first and then to the Gentile, the Greek in Romans. But you know what that means? That means the word Gentile that Jesus was using in his great message that he preached, the dogs. Everybody that's not of a Jew, the Jews, the Orthodox Jews, considered dogs, the Gentiles. You know, everybody falls in that category. Everybody needs the Lord. Amen. And everybody needs to take a time to just say, Lord, this is out of my hands. And if you don't do it, it can't be done. So with every head bowed and every eye closed and no one looking around as the piano plays, maybe you need to come to this altar. Maybe today you're not saved and you need to confess him and just say, Lord, I'm putting that in your hands, my salvation into your hands. I want to be saved. He'll do it. Verse 13 of Romans 10 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever covers everybody. You might be here and you might need to just come and pray for a loved one. Somebody in your family that's hurting. Somebody in your family that's away from God. And you just need to be like this woman and cry out and say, Lord, have mercy. I pray for this individual, Lord. And only you can heal him, and only you can heal her, and only you can bring them back to you. Why don't you do that? Pray that prayer of faith today. As the piano plays, you come.